up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Wise and Well podcast. I'm your host, Herman Lin, and today is another solo episode. So I'm going to try something a little bit different here. I obviously have an Instagram where I post every day. If you don't follow me, do follow me at wiseandwell.fitness. I post helpful tips on fat loss, building muscle, all the regular health and wellness stuff, but also just some advice on how to really handle, you know, improving your physical health without harming your mental health. A lot of what we talk about in this podcast, I try to do make it very simple and easy, quick reads each day. So if you like reading, follow me. If you like watching a bunch of videos where people dancing on them and pointing at things, don't follow me because I'm not the guy for that. But what I want to do is, you know, the one thing with Instagram is that there's just so many words I can put on a page, right? And it's hard because one, I can't fit them any words, but two, I also can't put them any words on without people just glazing over and moving past it. So it has, you know, it's made me a better writer overall because I've had to learn how to write more succinctly and get my message across in a much more simpler and cleaner way. But at the same time, there's a lot of times that I make posts, I'm like, man, I wish I could just talk more about this and expand this a little bit more. So what I want to do today is just take a post from last week that did pretty well and just talk about it a little bit more and give you some more context behind it. And hopefully you enjoy it. If you do like it, you know, again, I appreciate all the feedback. The last solo episode, thank you to everybody who reached out to me and said they found value in it. Super helpful to hear that, you guys. So again, leave a review, drop a comment below, you know, subscribe if you're new to the show. I really, really enjoy hearing from you guys and I love all the feedback. And it's just, at the end of the day, the whole reason I do this is to help you. So always, always reach out. Let me know how you're liking it. All right. So today, the big topic that I really want to cover is really kind of some personal changes that I made in my fitness journey. You know, I grew up an athlete, I guess, kind of. I mean, I started playing sports in seventh grade and it was, you know, up until that point, really didn't play anything, just like obviously played outside and stuff. But then all of a sudden I was thrust into football, basketball, volleyball, all at the same time. And all of a sudden I became the athletic kid and it was great. Had a great high school career, stayed super active. It was very easy to stay lean, you know, obviously through those 4 years because I was practicing after school every day and just pounding chicken parmesans and pasta when I got home and it didn't affect me at all. And then going to college, that all changed very quickly, right? The late night cafeteria was open that we would take study breaks and go down there and get a bunch of chicken fingers and stuff. And I was not practicing every day and playing sports. And so quickly I put on, you know, probably 15 pounds. Everyone says the freshman 15, right? That was pretty accurate for me in the first year or two. And then after that, I think the first thing that I really started doing when I realized like, oh man, this is a lot harder to stay skinny, you know? Back then, like I couldn't even imagine how eating more just led to weight gain, but it did. And so my first foray into the, you know, the intense kind of HIIT circuit training was P90X. And I think back then, I think the first one I probably did was Insanity. But you know, all the Beachbody videos, right? I did the P90X, the T25, the Insanity. I would try to, you know, I would try to get my friends in college to like come out in the living room and do it with me. And it worked pretty well back then. Honestly, you know, I'm sure I also kind of finally cut back on some of the late night eating too. And by the end of college, I shook out kind of in a pretty decent spot. I probably broke even from a weight perspective. but I was working my ass off, you know, doing all those crazy workouts every day. And then over the next 10 years, as I entered the corporate world and started working out more, and, you know, life changed again. And I think that's the really hard part to, as people gain weight over time, I think that's the really hard part to understand is like how drastic our life changes, right? As I go from college to the corporate world, think about how much less I am naturally moving every day, right? In college, we're walking to class. If we're not walking to class, we're walking to the bars, right? We're doing stuff on the weekends. We're moving really all the time. Where in the corporate world, you know, 5 days a week, back then there was no remote work, right? So it was at the desk every day. And you know, you'd have lunch and then you go back and just keep working. And then, you know, I don't even know if I was really cooking that much food back then. I was trying to, but there's so many days you get home and you're like, I just don't feel like doing it. So then you'd eat out. And then on the weekends, graduating college for me was like the first couple of years. I felt like it was just college with a bunch of money. You know, we're still going out and we're still having fun and, you know, drinking, eating late night. So all those things. And it was like I was just trying to keep up with those changes by working out more, you know, just trying to outrun it in a way. And so it's interesting because for 10 years, I would say like my entire 20s, pretty much, I tried all these things in terms of trying to, you know, get leaner, look more fit. Back then I would say look more toned, right? Build some muscle definition and just like, I just wanted to look fit and healthy. Right. And it became harder and harder. And I didn't really understand what I was necessarily doing wrong. You know, I tried probably like all the different trends you could think of. I tried, you know, low carb, intermittent fasting. I think I fasted every morning for legitimately 2 years. You know, I tried the Orange Theories, the Pelotons, you name it. I probably took a swing at it and my body never really changed. I mean, there were periods, there were things that got me pretty skinny, you know, like it would just be swings. Like I would either get pretty skinny, but never really look like I work out that much, you know? It was just kind of like almost, you know, I don't want to say skinny fat necessarily, but it's like, I didn't feel like I had great definition on my arms or anything. And then I feel like the thinner I got, it was like the more my belly just kind of stuck out. And then, you know, to have periods where it's like, I didn't do anything because it just felt like it wasn't really working. So I didn't really work out. And then I would get a little bit puffier and then I would start the whole cycle all over again. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe not. But eventually, you know, by the time I got to my 30s is when I kind of started figuring out what actually works. And so what I want to do today after that very long wind up, is talk about five of those things, five of the things that for me, as I look back, were really the biggest game changers that made me from, you know, from a looks perspective, look leaner, stronger, and healthier, but also just from like a pure health perspective and how I felt. You know, I think that's the biggest thing is when I was chasing all these HIIT workouts and avoiding all the, you know, the bad foods and clean eating and trying to chase on all the biohacking trends, like even in the times where I maybe looked the best and looked the skinniest, I felt like shit. I was just tired. I was sore. You know, I would have chronic hip pain. My joints were aching. Like it didn't make sense to me. I always thought that I was just missing something, right? Like, oh, I just got to find the next hack or the next thing that people are talking about. And I realized eventually, and I learned eventually, thankfully, that none of that was true. It's just that it's not that I needed more on top of all that. It's just that I needed something different. I needed to find what actually works. And so here are those five things that I would say made the biggest impact for me. Number one, by far in a way, the biggest one was strength training and strength training regularly. And this one, it's so hard to even start with this one because it really fundamentally shifted how I kind of look at fitness in general. You know, I, again, like coming from the worlds of the Orange Theories, you know, in my 20s, I ran a marathon. I got into triathlon training. Like I was very, very cardio focused. And even the places where I used weights or dumbbells or anything was still pretty cardio focused, you know, like it would have weights in the workout as I'm trying to move as fast as I possibly can. So I think the biggest thing is that back then it was all about burning calories, right? Like, and that's the craziest thing is in this society in general, we worship that as like the main metric of a successful workout, right? How many calories did you burn? How many splat points did you get? It's the way we look at it, and the more the better, right? I think the biggest thing that I started to understand and what really helped me kind of start unlocking this was I mentioned I had chronic hip pain. That was for the better part of a year. Literally for a year, it felt like my hip was just kind of grinding. Like I always needed to stretch. It started after I was doing the Peloton way too hard and trying to compete with everybody on there. And I finally saw a physical therapist who helped me and very simply said, dude, you just need to get stronger. And right there, I was like, I didn't understand. I was like, okay, but it feels like it just needs to be stretched or popped or something. And he explained the whole idea that all these muscles are helping support your body. And when one is not strong enough, you're going to be overcompensating with a different muscle. And at that time, like it kind of blew my mind. Like I didn't understand how all this plays together. I didn't understand the idea of what it means to be strong, right? For your muscles to be strong. Cause in my head, it was just muscles is just like, it's just a bodybuilding thing. It's just something that you look at, but strength, right? Being able to physically handle life in your 20s, you don't really think about that because you can pretty much handle everything. But the older you get, the more you realize like, oh man, this kind of hurts. You know, my back is kind of aching. And a lot of that comes from a lack of strength more so than anything else. And so once I kind of started actually looking into it, I got onto a book called The Resistance Training Revolution by Sal DiStefano from Mind Pump. And that opened up the whole world of strength training to me. And when I say strength training, I think this is like one of the hardest things once before you're actually doing it and in it, right? Strength training is not using dumbbells in your Orange Theory class. It is not watching a YouTube video where like you're doing dumbbell rows for 30 seconds or whatever. Like there's always timers on there. Strength training is really like it is a lot of science. It is a lot of evidence-based research that goes into building out these programs. Like when I started to get certified and started learning how to, you know, apply training and apply nutrition and help people with these things, programming strength training was like a whole separate thing that I had to dive into for months to really understand it. And there's still pieces of it that I'm learning all the time. So I think one of the biggest things is really finding a program that is well designed and helps you progress over time. Because, and we'll talk about that in point number two, but it's really important that there's a progression through strength training. The whole goal is that you're building something over time. It's not just this momentary workout where you're just trying to burn as much as you can and sweat as much as you can and get out of there. Like it's strategic. It's almost like I equate it almost to like a martial art. You know, like you really should start as like a white belt and work your way up to a black belt, right? And then everything in between. And you may never reach a black belt, and that's okay. I mean, think about it in martial arts, like how many people actually get to that point? Like the point is that you're building so much skills from when you first start out through all those different levels. And I can tell you this, that is the only way that you're going to truly build muscle, right? So instead of trying to, you know, I always thought that it was like in these classes where you're doing a bunch of burpees and stuff, and you're doing push-ups, and then you're using weights, but like really fast and really high reps. In my head, that was how you get toned, right? Where lifting weights was, that's like if you want to look like a, you know, a bulky bodybuilder type, right? And that is so far from the truth. The truth is that building muscle is just building muscle. And the way you look toned is simply by you just build more muscle and you got to lose enough fat to be able to see the muscle. Like that's what toned is. The only way you can get bulky is one, have very good genetics. And then two, eat an insane amount to build 10, you know, 30, 40, 50 pounds of muscle on top of what you currently have that you end up looking bigger. And that's not going to happen on accident, right? So anyone that's like, oh, I don't want to lift weights because I don't want to look bulky, good luck. Trust me, I've literally been trying now, and it is not easy. So I think that's the biggest thing to understand is that, you know, two takeaways from this. One, a really well-designed strength training plan is key. And there's plenty out there that use really good evidence. There's also a lot of really bad ones out there. I will say that too. I went through multiple ones myself that was just way too much volume for someone who was just starting out. And that's an important classification because, you know, the more you do it, the more volume you will need over time. But in the beginning, you really don't need that much. You know, like literally, if you're just starting out, 2 days a week is going to help you grow. 3 days a week is great. At some point within the first year, you'll probably want to move to 3 to 4 days. And for most people, like 95% of people, you're never going to need to go over 4 days a week. There's times and there's different methods, right? So like you could do shorter workouts or more days a week. That's like a whole different discussion. But just like a generally speaking, you know, I would look at it as like 3 to 4 days a week for most people, 5 to 6 exercises. That is going to be the best route for most people. And some of these more advanced bodybuilding exercises where they're doing like body part splits 5 or 6 days a week, and there's like 10 exercises, you know, per day. Like those are just way too much for someone who is just starting out. You're not going to recover. You're not going to get the benefit, and you're not going to do it for very long because you're not going to feel very good. You know, so I would start with the lowest amount where you can increase weekly. And if you're getting stronger, you probably don't need more volume yet. Okay. So I will say, if you don't know where a good workout is, reach out to me. You know, go to wiseandwellcoaching.com. That's exactly what the Wise and Well method does, is we build out personalized training programs for you so you never have to worry about what your workout is. We put you in an app so you can track all your progress and make sure that you are getting stronger every week. And I promise you, working one-on-one, you know, it's always going to be tailored to you and your experience levels and how much volume you need. And I'm always going to be there to help you, you know, answer any questions that you have to make sure that you don't feel overwhelmed. Because I know starting strength training can feel intimidating, right? It's something very new. So most of the people I work with, they're coming from a place where they've been circuit training for a long time and they want to start getting stronger and start strength training. But it's just a little bit nerve-wracking in the beginning. So I can help you through that too. And if not, you know, reach out to me, DM me on Instagram at wiseandwell.fitness. And I'm happy to point you to other programs that are great out there. You know, the Mind Pump guys sell a ton of programs called MAPS. that you could buy and use them as PDFs that you just literally go in and do the workouts. Starting Strength by Mark Ripito is a really good one for people just beginning. There's plenty of them out there that I would recommend. Just reach out to me. I'm happy to help. Okay, now number two. So the first one was strength training. The second one is a portion that goes along with strength training. But I think this one deserved its own call out because it is so important for what it actually does. And the second one is progressive overload. So very fancy technical word. I'm sure you probably heard it. I'm sure many of you have said, what is that, right? How do I know if I'm doing it? And like at the very, very simplest terms, basically your body needs a reason to adapt and to build muscle. Right? Because muscle is a pretty expensive tissue. So if your body has no reason to hold on to it, or especially build more of it, it's not going to, because metabolically it requires more energy to maintain muscle than fat, which is why also when you build muscle over time, your metabolism is a little bit faster. It's not crazy dramatic, but a little bit faster than if you had body fat. And this is important too, because after the age of 30, we lose 3 to 7% of our muscle mass every decade. So now you can imagine, right? If you turn 30, you lose up to 7% of your muscle mass every decade. If you end up staying the same weight because you're eating the same amount of food, what does that turn into? Right? The muscle mass goes away. It's just replaced with body fat. And this is the really important thing from the way your body looks. Muscle mass is more dense. It's 25% more dense than a fat cell. Okay, so meaning it takes up less space. So if you had, let's say you had 20 pounds of muscle that is replaced with 20 pounds of fat, you would look physically bigger because that fat takes up more space. Now, do the reverse, right? Same exact thing. If we can replace 10 pounds of fat with 10 pounds of muscle, even though you stay the same exact weight in that scenario, you would look smaller. You would look leaner, right? More toned, more compact, because muscle is more dense. So that is why building muscle, and a part of this is like, yes, you all obviously want to do some body recomposition if that's the goal. Unless you're super, super thin already. And if you do have some body fat on you that you want to get rid of, you'll want to kind of trade that out, right? The great news is in your first year of strength training, you can do both at the same time, which is amazing. You could build muscle and lose body fat at the same time. Literally just eating around your maintenance calories and just focusing on getting stronger every week. Where when you kind of get past the first year, that becomes a lot harder. And you might want to start focusing more on kind of, do I do a bulk? Do I do a cut? You don't need to, that's like at the end of the day, if you're happy with where you are and you're just fine gradually improving over time, you don't need to ever do those. Honestly, it just takes a lot longer to see the body recomposition. But I think this is so important, because if you can get that leaner look, that stronger, healthier look, right, while without having to lose 20, 30, 40 pounds, well, that becomes really important for your lifestyle, right? Like if you can look leaner at a higher weight, that means you can eat more calories, because the more you weigh, the more calories you can eat and maintain your weight. Now, I'm not saying like if you want to lose 40, 50 pounds, the reality is like you're not going to have that crazy of a body recomposition. There will always be times where like you might want to go down in weight to get to a healthier weight. But maybe in that case, you only have to lose 20 pounds instead of the 40, right? Like it just opens up different options for you rather than just trying to go as low as you possibly can on the scale all the time. And so, like I said, because your body needs a reason to build muscle and to maintain muscle. That reason is progressive overload. And what that means is that we're basically just increasing the load that we're putting on your body over time. Load just meaning how much weight you're using and how much volume of it, right? How many sets and how many reps of it that you're doing over time. And so when you think about that, we kind of have step one of like having a good strength training program, right? Step two is you got to be able to understand if you're progressing over time. Because if you, let's say I could do, you know, bicep curls for 20 pounds, right? For like 10 reps. If I just consistently keep doing the same exact reps and just stay around that 20 pounds, if I just don't really like keep track of it, don't really be mindful of it, and I just keep picking up that 20, my muscle is only going to get so big because it has no signal or reason to grow more. Now, if I come back and I pick up the 25, right? And I try to eventually get back to 10 reps, my muscle's going to go, oh shit. Like we need more resources here. This guy is trying to do all this crazy stuff and we got to help out. So it grows in size. That's how you build strength. That's how you build muscle, right? It eventually understands like, if we're going to be able to lift more, we need more. And that is the idea of progressive overload. So that's why in things like Orange Theory, it's very hard to do that, right? It's very hard to remember all the weights that you used last time. It's very hard to know if you're even doing the same exercises because they change all the time, right? Is it possible? Is it possible that like, hey, on this chest press, I usually use 25s and then I'm going to start using 30s? Like, yes, for sure. But it's just going to be way slower than it needs to be. Because you should be in the beginning, you should be increasing weight almost every single week. That's eventually going to run out. But in the beginning, you know, like newbie gains are a very real thing. There's a reason why you have so much runway, and it's because you're starting at kind of square one, right? So when you are physically tracking in an app and writing down, this is the sets I did, this is how many reps I did, this is how much weight I used. And then coming back the week after, and I would recommend when you do a training cycle, I would do the same workouts for at least 4 weeks. Like some people even go up to like 8 weeks. The reason being, like, you need to be able to actually go back and do the same workout to be able to do more, right? So let's say I'm doing dumbbell rows, like a single arm dumbbell row. And let's say I'm using a 30 pound weight and the training plan says do 3 sets of 8 to 12 reps. Okay, so I'm going to try to get within that 8 to 12 rep range when I finish each set. And I'm going to do, let's say the first week I can do 10 reps. And then by then I'm like, okay, if I'm getting close to failure, you want to try to get like maybe within 2 to 3 reps. You don't want to get all the way to failure where you can't lift the weight anymore. But also you don't want to be in a place where like you can crank out those 10 reps and then you're like, I could probably do 10 more. You want to get to a place where you can maybe do like 2 to 3 more good reps. And that takes time, especially as you're just starting out, like, right? Like you want to feel good with your form and the movement and you don't need to rush that part. Like you'll figure it out in the beginning. You can build muscle on accident. So it's okay. But that's kind of like the goal is like, you want to try to get to a place where those last couple reps just feel a little bit slower than those first two, right? Like maybe you're making a face as you're finishing up the set. But, you know, let's say I do 30 pounds for 10 reps. So I'm going to write that down. And then the next week coming back, my only goal is, can I at least do 11 reps, right? Like that's progressive overload right there. Just doing a little bit more. And reality is when you're starting out, like you could probably come back and do 12 reps. And by the time you get to the top of that rep range, if it's 8 to 12, if you could do all of your sets at 12, then go up to the next weight So if I had 30s, I'm going to try 35, right? I'm going to try to get to 8 to 12 again. And that's it. Literally just do that over and over and over again until forever, basically. But that's like a very, very simple example. But really, like, that's how I think about progressive overload is like every single week I am recording and all my clients are recording. We all use the Wise and Well app. And again, this is the training program that if you want to work with me in the Wise and Well method, you would be able to have an app that is tracking all of your weights and all of your reps. And then each week you're going back in and doing a little bit more. And I'm helping you through that, right? Like, we're talking about if there's any kind of movements that you're having trouble on to increase, if there's any kind of movements that are hurting you, we definitely want to correct that and fix that right away. So there's just, you know, we really just make sure that you're progressing all the time. And so you would record it in the app that we use. And then the next week you'd come back and you would see the exact reps that you used and the exact weights that you used and the exact reps that you did. So you could do a little bit more. And if you don't want to do Wise and Well, not a problem at all. The other app I really like is Strong. It's a free one. You can get on Apple. Super simple to use. I think Heavy is also one that I heard a lot of people use that they like a lot too. But you know, this is just a fundamental piece is like, I would really start tracking your weights and trying to increase them over time. And like, here's the thing, like, and this is what I saw in myself is that the stronger I got, so the more weight that I was using in my workouts, the more muscle I would build and the leaner I would look, right? So even though I've gained weight, you know, since those times I was talking about in my 20s, I think the lowest I got in my 20s was 180, 185 maybe. Now I hover around 195 to 200 on a regular basis. But I would tell you I look leaner than I did then. And that's because most of that weight gain came from muscle mass, right? So again, I think this is like, it's especially if you're somebody who is so used to dieting all the time, trying to just cut out foods, trying to just make the scale drop as much as possible. Like, think about how unbelievably fulfilling it is when you start doing the opposite, where you start trying to build your body up, right? You're starting to try to get stronger, to do things that your body couldn't do. Like, you're doing things because you appreciate your body, not because you're trying to tear it down. And to me, like, that is why strength training is so powerful for fat loss, because it just completely changes your long-term focus. Okay. Now, number three kind of goes along with this whole piece that I just talked about, but really lifting heavier weights. And so again, like, I think it's totally fine to start with dumbbells, start with machines, start with whatever you're comfortable with. Honestly, like, you can make plenty of progress, but I think the point is challenge yourself to get more intensity into the lifts and into the workouts. You know, and like I talked about, one workout should have 5 to 6 movements, and 3 sets each is a good place to be. Maybe even 2 sets each when you start. So like, if you're thinking about that and going, well, that's not that much, right? Then you're probably not using heavy enough weights. The same way that if I tell you, hey, you should probably rest for 60 seconds, maybe even 2 minutes in between your sets, and you go, oh my God, what am I going to do in between those? Like, can I do pushups? Can I do jumping jacks? You're probably not lifting heavy enough. Okay. Because as I said, the best way to build muscle and the best way to get stronger, and again, taking this all back, right? The more we do that, the more it helps with fat loss too. The best way to do that is to get relatively close to failure, where you physically can't lift up a weight anymore in a set, and also increase that load over time. And so when we're doing things like 20 reps, 30 reps or whatever, the reality is, even if you are getting close to failure, it's more likely because you're just getting tired of doing the set than your muscle is actually reaching that point. And so that's why lifting heavier weights and to a point where, like, I would say prioritizing mostly rep ranges between like 4 to 12 on average. So like 8 to 12 is probably that sweet spot, like the traditional hypertrophy sweet spot. That's going to help for building muscle. But I think even like 4 to 8, 6 to 8, like all those rep ranges are great because you lift heavier weights. That makes it much more likely that you're reaching failure, right? It's going to help you just build overall strength more as well. And then, you know, you can mix in some 12 to 15s, even some 15 to 20s, but just a lower percentage, right? Like maybe one exercise a day is kind of like in those higher endurance. I would probably structure each one as, and this for most clients, what I kind of do is, you know, the first one or two is maybe more of like a really heavy strength-based movement. So like a barbell squat or like a chest press with heavy dumbbells and going for like 6 to 8 reps, maybe 4 to 6 reps, or like a deadlift, things like that. Then we have some ones that are still going to be compound movements. You know, maybe we throw in some chin-ups or some shoulder presses, some rows, but like closer to like maybe 8 to 10 reps. And then like maybe we'll add in a couple exercises at some higher reps, like maybe a lateral raise or maybe you know, heels elevated goblet squat, something like that. So you could play around with them, but like notice I'm not like throwing in do this for 45 seconds, right? Where you're just cranking out 20 to 30 reps. I promise you, again, like I've talked about, lifting heavier is not going to make you bulky. It is going to make you build muscle, which building muscle makes you look toned. So I always like to say, if you want to look toned, lift like you're trying to look bulky. And if you want to look bulky, then good luck. So that's number three. Then the fourth one is a really important one and a really hard switch. Especially again, if you've been trying to just use weight and avoid food for so long, to lower the weight on the scale, you need to rethink your relationship with food. And I say that very bluntly because I had to do this and it was very hard for me, but it's necessary. So you have to think about, you know, food is good for you. And you have to use food to go on offense. Okay. So in my 20s, I was living on defense when it came to food, right? I was avoiding carbs. I was fasting every morning. So I was literally skipping meals. I was clean eating. So like I was going into the grocery store and checking every label. And if I saw stuff in there that I didn't recognize, I would put it back on the shelf. So like I would leave the grocery store filled with anxiety. I would go to restaurants with my family or friends and I would be terrified of ordering something because it was like, oh, well, does that have, you know, white sugar in it? Does that have carbs in it? Is there gluten in that? And it's like, the mental gymnastics I would play to try to fit this rigid, perfect diet that was completely unnecessary. You know, it was just my digestion. Like the thing is like, I used to weigh even less and I got pretty thin. And I, you know, you would look at me and be like, oh, wow, dude, you lost a bunch of weight. But I didn't feel healthy. Like I felt like shit. Honestly, I was tired. I was hungry. I was constantly thinking about food and thinking about like, oh, you know, I'd watch people eat cookies and cake and pizza and all these things and be like, oh, man, how are they eating that? You know what's in that? And the whole time I'm just like, oh, man, I hope they have like a couple bites left over so I could just sneak, you know, ask them for it. But it was not healthy. And my digestion was bad for years that I didn't understand. Like I always thought it was like food sensitivities, right? So I would cut out this food, I would cut out that food. And it would just get like worse. Like I would just like feel bloated, gassy. And the reality I was stressed. I was literally just stressed about eating all these foods. I was following all these gurus and biohackers and following all these food rules. from people that had no idea what they're talking about and had zero evidence to back up anything they said. You know, like that's the thing. I say this, it sounds angry, but like I'm trying to make it in a caring way. Like, please be careful with anyone that sits there and like sits in a grocery store or whatever and spouts out all these ingredients and all these foods that they're saying are bad for you and are going to kill you. And this is the whole root of evil, because like, I promise you, I can't think of one that actually has any kind of significant evidence that shows that's true. And whenever you ask these people to show you something, they will send you, will probably send you zero studies because they just don't care and they haven't looked into it. Or two, they'll send you some studies that involves using cells in a lab or rats, you know, like, but there's no actual human evidence that backs this stuff up. So, you know, it's such a shame that these people exist and these styles of eating exist that completely destroy relationships with food, in my opinion. And so I think, again, tying this whole thing together of like going on offense, right? Building your body, building muscle, strength, getting stronger, strength training. The same thing goes with food. Like, instead of trying to avoid all these foods, I started prioritizing foods that my body needs and makes my body feel better, right? So I would start prioritizing protein, which is a huge change for body composition in itself. Your body needs protein to build muscle. And the more muscle you build, right, the more protein you eat, to a certain point, you're going to prioritize muscle mass over body fat, which is so important. And this is the biggest thing that, you know, so many of these weight companies that make you just slash calories and pay zero attention to protein. If you are not eating enough protein, you're going to lose a ton of muscle mass while you're losing weight. And that's going to put you in a worse position in the long run. And so it's so important to, you know, I started prioritizing protein every day, eating the what I really went after was 0.7 grams per pound of body weight. So for me, that was like 130 grams to 150 grams I was trying to get daily. And that took a little bit of time and adjustment, because when I started actually weighing it out, my portion sizes, I realized like, holy shit, I thought that was like 4 to 5 ounces of meat. And that's only like 2 ounces. And oh man, like my breakfast, I barely had any protein in there, right? Like I had two eggs has 12 grams of protein and that's it. So I had to spend some time actually working on that. And it felt like I was eating more, you know? And the other thing with protein is that it keeps you full. So which obviously helps with weight loss. And I took that piece. I started adding in carbs. That was the hardest one for me because I was so afraid of them for so long. But carbs, look, one, they fuel your workouts. Can you build muscle without them? Can you work out well without them? Technically, yes. But is it optimal? 100% not. They make it way easier. And also, there's no reason you need to avoid them. You know, you can't look at foods like cookies and cake and all these things and say, oh, well, carbs are bad for you. One, those foods are more fat than carbs. Two, that is completely different than things like fruit and whole grains and potatoes, which are great sources of fiber, provide you energy, is the primary source of fuel for your brain. And they do a lot of good things for your body. Just because you can survive without them doesn't mean it's optimal to do so. And so changing those things, right? Going after protein, going after fiber, reintroducing carbs, trying to eat more whole foods throughout the day, cooking it, enjoying my food, sitting down and being excited about my meal was such an unbelievable change for me mentally that it just radically changed everything. And from the perspective of, like I said, my digestion issues, they went away. Why? Because I wasn't stressed sitting down every time I was eating my meal. I didn't look at food as the enemy. I looked at food as something that helps me improve my life. And that is so unbelievably important. And it's really hard to build muscle over time if you're not eating enough, you know? So I think I'm not saying that you need to eat more and more calories and eat to the point where like you're feeling stuffed and all these things. Like, no, not at all. I think in the beginning, you should eat around maintenance calories for a while. You'll build some good muscle for a year, maybe two. And, you know, there might be a point where like, hey, I want to go into a little bit of a muscle definition phase. You know, I will usually say that instead of bulking, because bulking freaks people out and it's probably not the greatest word for it. But really all that means is just eating a little bit more calories, you know, like a couple hundred. Can you eat 200 more calories than your maintenance? And that'll help you build a little bit of muscle while you're strength training and making sure you get enough protein. And you know, I would do one of those two things for a year or two. Unless you have to lose, you know, if you want to lose 20, 30 pounds, maybe more, then yes, I would eat in a deficit and I would lose weight while I'm building muscle. And both are possible at the same time. Again, at the beginning, you might build less muscle, but you'll still build some and it'll make fat loss easier. But then once you've built some muscle, you know, then you can go into short kind of fat loss phases. So, you know, maybe like I honestly will do like a 4-week, maybe even like a 2-week phase sometimes, just to kind of interrupt and just kind of change it up for myself. But you could do like an 8 to 10 week phase where you just try to lose a little bit of, you know, whenever you build muscle, you're going to gain a little bit of fat. It's okay. I mean, it's just part of the process, but again, you can always kind of go backwards and it becomes much easier when you've built more muscle, you're doing these workouts, your metabolism is in a good place, right? Fat loss phases become a lot easier. And I just basically now interrupt that, you know, maybe a few times a year. Like even right now, I'm doing like a little like 4-week mini cut. Just to, you know, I felt like in spring coming out of winter was just enjoying myself, living in maintenance, saw the scale starting to go up, maybe like 2, 3, 4 pounds. Was like, all right, time to hit it. So I'm going to get back down like maybe like 5, 6 pounds and then just go back to eating and maintenance and maybe building some more muscle for most of the year. And I'll probably do another cut, you know, probably like after summer, heading into winter again. And that's been like a good cadence for me, like twice a year, maybe 3 times a year. But it's such a big difference than being in a diet mindset all the time where you're not even losing weight, but you feel like you're constantly on a diet, right? So again, like this whole idea of just going on offense, building your body, it's been an unbelievable change in my life. And, you know, I hope that you feel that too. And I hope this resonates with you if that is you. And then the last piece, number 5, is learning how to rest more. And this is something that I am still learning how to do. But again, like coming from a person who was doing the T25s and then Sanities and thinking that you have to, you know, take 30-second breaks between each exercise, and then you have to make sure that you are doing them every single day. You know, back then I thought if you missed a day, then it was like, oh man, like now I'm not going to see the results. Like I literally thought that if you didn't do all 30 workouts in the month, then the results just don't come, which is such a dumb thing to think, but it was what was in my head. But the reality is this. So when we build muscle and we strength train, during the workouts is not when the muscle is built. The muscle is being built outside of the workouts. While you're resting, recovering, your body's building you back up, right? And so that can't happen if you're not resting enough. It's that simple. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is like people try to work their way out of their situation. They try to work out more to lose as much weight as they possibly can. And it's just not a great strategy. You know, the food that you eat is going to be such a bigger piece of weight loss and reducing calories and just trying to outwork it isn't the best. Like, your workouts should be very strategic. They should be built for a purpose. And if that purpose is getting stronger and building muscle, you got to be okay with rest. Okay. Because what happens when you rest more? Well, when you come back, let's say within a workout, if you're resting for 2 minutes between a set, what happens? You can lift a hell of a lot heavier, right? If I wait 20 seconds and I try to do a barbell squat versus if I wait 2 minutes and do a barbell squat, I'm obviously going to lift a lot more if I wait 2 minutes, right? So that whole idea of being able to do more volume, more load, progressing over time becomes so much easier when you give yourself the proper rest in between. And the same goes for the amount of days that you're working out, right? Like, I went from working out 6 days a week, probably on a regular basis for a lot of my 20s, to right now, I mean, honestly, like probably 3, maybe 4 regularly. And I am walking almost, you know, pretty much every day. I'm probably getting 7,000, 8,000, up to 10,000 steps. Like, that is almost a non-negotiable for me. But I'm not doing crazy HIIT workouts. I'm not doing these crazy long cardio workouts. I'll do maybe like 1 or 2 cardio sessions that are just very light, probably like 20 minutes on the bike or a treadmill or something. And that doesn't even happen every week. Like, I prioritize my strength workouts every single week. When I say that, like, it's, trust me, like, I have missed workouts. I have bad weeks where it's like, oh, I only got like 1 in, or I only got like 2 in. That's, you know, that's totally okay, because at the end of the day, I'm doing this for the next 30 years and not the next 30 days. But 3 to 4 days has been fantastic for me. Sometimes I go down to 2 to 3 days, depending on what's been crazy busy in my life. And, you know, sometimes I have to dial the intensity back. And it's, and honestly, you know, there's times where I'm doing 4 days and it's like, oh, I feel great, all this, you know, and then I start feeling like kind of like achy, and I realize I could go back to 2 days, and I sometimes even get stronger in doing only 2 days, just because maybe my, you know, my body actually needed some of that extra rest and recovery. So, you know, I think it's just, I wanted to get this point across so much, is like, as much as I want you to work hard, I want you to crush it, I want you to go hit your goals, it's okay to remember to just settle down, right? Recover, sit, let life just be sometimes. Like, this isn't even just from like a recovery standpoint, but outside, if you're that person who's like constantly going, constantly doing more, always needing something more. And that's like, that's how I am. You know, like, I always want to learn more. I want to have a podcast in my ear. I want to watch this. I want to get on Instagram and try to talk to more of you guys. Like, there's always going to be more. And we have to do a better job of understanding when we actually need less. And so that for me is for sure the last thing that has helped so much, is just like quieting that voice in my head when it comes to food and fitness, of like just trying to do everything all the time as fast as I possibly can. And I truly now look at this thing as, it's a lifelong journey, and I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to change. You know, I can promise you, write this down, bookmark it. I don't have kids yet. We're getting married in July. We do want kids. And when there are kids in the picture, I promise you, I will keep going. It will look very different. And I'm sure there's gonna be a lot more missed days, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's just, I've gotten this to a place where it just feels manageable more than anything else. And I'm never going to be a bodybuilder. I'm never going to, you know, win a powerlifting meet or anything like that. And I'm okay with that. You know, at this point, I'm working out for life. I want to feel strong. I want to look healthy and lean. And I want to make sure that I'm doing the things to enable that while still letting me enjoy dinners out with friends, right? Going on vacation for a weekend and not worrying about trying out all the amazing restaurants that are out there. Missing a workout and being like, that's okay. You know, I'm still making progress. Like it's such a game changer when you have this long-term strategy and you're not just living almost like paycheck to paycheck, right? Where you're just trying to eat a bunch of stuff and then just burn it all off. And it's been such a blessing and such a difference in my life. And, you know, I hope that this episode, I hope this helps you get some good takeaways. And again, I will put in the show notes, if you need some help with this and if you need some guidance, please reach out, check out the Wise Them All method. I love working with people every single day on this. And, you know, I guess I would say it's the most achievable and the least intimidating coaching program out there. I can promise you that. You know, I never judge the clients. I feel like we share a lot of things in common a lot of the times, right? Like there's things that I struggle with still, and that's okay. But I always will tell you the things and make sure I'm doing the things that move you along closer to your goal. And I think at the end of the day, that's all that matters. But I will also be there to catch you and make sure that you're not sacrificing your life, right? And you're not letting it take over and control you, because that's taking away from a happy life. And I believe that we can live a long and healthy life, but also a happy life. And to me, that is Wise and Well, right? Like that is the whole purpose of this. And this is exactly why I started all of this, is because I was in that position and I understand there's a different way to do it. One that feels way more empowering and much less stressful. So I hope this has been helpful. Again, if you have enjoyed it, share it, leave a comment, hit subscribe and leave a great 5-star review. It really helps a lot. And I hope to hear from you guys soon. All right. Thanks, guys. See you next time.